Turn now to the Old Covenant reading, which is taken from the book of Deuteronomy, the 5th chapter. And we begin reading at the first verse. Deuteronomy 5, beginning at verse 1. And Moses called all Israel and said to them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your hearing today, that you may learn them and be careful to observe them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with us, those who are here today, all of us who are alive. The Lord talked with you face to face on the mountain from the midst of the fire. I stood between the Lord and you at that time to declare to you the word of the Lord. For you were afraid because of the fire, and you did not go up the mountain. He said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your ox, nor your donkey, nor any of your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Turn now to the New Covenant reading, which is taken from the Epistle of the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians, beginning with the 5th chapter at the 18th verse. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Where the Apostle Paul says, And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you, masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. Thus far, the reading of God's word. Let's pray. Father, as we approach your word, let us understand the teaching of your precepts. Then we will meditate on your wonders. Enable us to give back to you your word in prayer, in praise, in our daily lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Ten Commandments are the law of the covenant, the basic household rules of the arrangement that the Lord God made between himself and his people. In the first four commandments, God, the Lord of the covenant, instructs us concerning our worship. With the fifth commandment, which we consider this morning, the Lord moves from the rules which govern our relationship to him to the rules which govern our relationships with other men, women, and children. The members of his household express their love for him by obediently loving the rest of the household according to these commands. As the Apostle John points out in the first five verses of the fifth chapter of his first letter. So while we move from the subject of our love for God to the subject of our love for our neighbor, remember that the two types of love are so closely related that you can't properly practice them separately. God wants you to love one another his way. The fourth commandment's exhortation to work reminds us of the command given at creation to exercise dominion, lordship over the earth. That calls for man to exercise the authority to rule, the right to give commands, and to use power to enforce obedience. That authority to rule is delegated and limited. It's given by God to be used for Him according to His purposes and commands. The fifth commandment is the rule of delegated authority. The rule of delegated authority. It's given in terms of the family, because the family is the God-given model of human authority and government. Notice that the command is addressed to all the people assembled, all of God's people. Certainly, this commandment applies to children, to all children. But it's not addressed to the children alone, not just to the young people. God doesn't say that you grow out of this commandment. It's addressed to all of you here today. Well, then what does it say? What does the Lord call you to do? Let's consider the commandment in Deuteronomy 5, verse 16. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Who's meant by your father and your mother? Well, mom and dad, of course. But by father and mother, God means not only natural parents, but also all those in authority over us. In your family, in your church, in your civil government, there are certain persons whom God has placed over you, like parents over children. God wants you to love those who are related to you in a relationship of authority. The family authorities would be mom and dad, grandpa and grandma, aunts and uncles, perhaps at times an older brother or sister. Also, under the family would come relationships with those in authority at work, since employees in biblical times were part of a household. So in Ephesians 6 and Colossians 3 and 4, Paul applies this commandment to the relationship between slaves and masters. For the purposes of applying this commandment, your boss, your foreman or supervisor, your employer, your teacher, your commanding officer is your father. And we might speak of you as one of the children at work. And if you are responsible for employees under you, if you are in a position of authority, then you're the father and mother of the commandment. Those in authority in the church are pastors, elders, deacons, Sunday school teachers, and so on. The president, the governor, congressmen, judges, policemen, town officials, military officers are examples of parents in civil government. All these are in positions of some authority and come under the terms father and mother in this commandment. And your father and your mother means the people in authority in your family, your church, your town or county or state or nation, your workplace. So father and mother is a kind of shorthand. But why does God use these terms? Several reasons come to mind. First is the fact that God, the authority, is called our Father. That's why the family is the model for relationships of authority, because the people of God are the family of God. Through faith in Jesus Christ, you are adopted into the family as sons. By the Holy Spirit, you are born again to be the children of God. Also, parents are the most obvious and universal of God's representatives appointed by Him to exercise His authority. So, parents bring into your view all those who, like them, have been ordained by God to exercise rule over you, to govern you, to teach you, to discipline you, to protect and defend you. And as Paul says in Romans 13, there is no authority except that which God has established. Furthermore, the commandment particularly mentions mothers, not just fathers. So you know that it's not only the head of the government in view, but the persons with subordinate authority too, the helpers, those who exercise authority to assist the chief. All persons of authority are included. But the terms father and mother also teach those in authority to treat those under them as though they were parents, as far as their authority goes. And the terms teach those under authority to behave toward them like children, so far as their responsibilities require. So then we can talk about parents and children, but remember that we mean those given authority and those under authority. Then the commandment talks about our responsibilities in our relationships of authority. Well, children, what are your responsibilities to your parents? What does the Lord require of all of us by this commandment? He says it in one word: honor. Honor your father and your mother. You're to honor your rulers, all those in authority over you. The word honor is sometimes translated glorify. It's giving honor as we give honor to God. But what does that mean? The Catechism for Young Children explains it simply: to love and obey our parents and teachers. But let's reflect a little further on the command to honor your parents. It means, first of all, that you're to consider them and treat them with respect. In Leviticus 19, verse 3, the command is given using a word that literally means fear. You shall fear your mother and father. The fear or respect or honor isn't due because of the worthiness of the man or woman, but because they have been put in the position, in the office of father or mother by the Father in heaven. You're to consider them and treat them with respect in your heart. That is, in your motives, in your mind, in your words, and in your behavior. So the commandment requires that you show all honor to your father and mother and to all in authority over you. Now that means that you're to pray for them and to give thanks to the Lord for them. It means that you're to imitate their godly example as students follow teachers and as small children love to mimic their parents. And you imitate the Lord Jesus Himself by your obedience. You obey the Lord by obeying the commands of the parents he's placed over you and allowing yourself to be governed by them. We read in Luke 2, verse 51, that after Jesus' parents found him in the temple courts when he was 12 years old, he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. Honoring your parents means obeying all their commands and heeding their advice, as long as it doesn't lead you to disobey your heavenly Father. You submit yourself with due obedience to their good instruction and correction. Their instruction and discipline is good for you. You are to be loyal to them, devoting your service to them in the areas of their authority. The commandment calls for children to take care of their parents, to relieve their poverty, and to aid their necessities. You defend them and their authority, and you are faithful to them. Again, Jesus gives us an example of this kind of care. When he provides for his mother's care when he's on the cross, we read in John 19, verses 26 and 27, that he assigned John to care for her as a son. But because all of our parents are sinners, this command requires something more from you. It requires patience and love. That means putting up with their weaknesses, their inabilities, and their sins in the course of their ruling us. That means forgiving them. You love your father and mother and all those in authority over you and bear patiently with their weaknesses and shortcomings. If they're too strict, or if they lay out policies that won't work, or are even cruel, you still obey them and love them, so long as they don't try to rob God of his right by wickedly demanding what is unlawful. An illustration of that point will be available at the back after the service for any who are interested. Just ask for it. But this is the point where the commandment is hardest to keep. You should do what is properly possible to correct abuses of authority by those over you. But that doesn't give you license to take over from them the place of rule that God gave them. Sometimes it's hard to sort out what obedience to the commandment does and does not require. And it's necessary to get advice from someone who is wise. You must follow the example of the Lord Jesus, who was obedient even to death at the hands of those who cruelly abused their authority to put him to death on the cross. A criminal's death for the perfect Son of God. The most unjust use of authority in history. And he was obedient. And so he honored his Father in heaven. Of course, Jesus was unique. And his mission was unique. He wasn't simply obeying the civil and ecclesiastical authorities, but his Father in heaven. So imitating him has its limits. Wisdom is required when obedience seems to involve suffering. Again, advice may be necessary. You see, obedience and submission require trust. There are two ways to trust someone. On the one hand, you expect righteousness in their dealing with you. Or on the other hand, you expect competency, ability, good work. But sin seems to prevent trust. No one is either righteous or able. But you trust others as they operate within the sphere to which God has appointed them for the exercise of authority over you. Then, although you speak of trusting them, in fact, you trust God to work through them righteously and competently in spite of their sin and inability. So you trust their parents, not because they're perfect in any way, but because they're God's appointed authorities over you for your good. Likewise, authorities in civil government and those in authority in the church. Their authority is delegated by God for specific purposes with particular limits in certain areas according to His guidelines. In other words, they act in His name. So when anyone in authority steps outside those bounds, compelling you to breach the authority of God with them, we must obey God rather than men. But you can't lightly ignore or rebel against what God has established. You must not bow to those who claim to be rightly appointed authorities, but who have, in fact, usurped that authority. To do so would be to withhold the honor due to and to rebel against those with rightful claims to the position. You cannot make the sins of your parents an excuse for your sin. You cannot take the sin of anyone in authority over you and make that an excuse for sinning against them by neglecting to do your duties, by rebelling against their authority, or by any display of contempt or dishonor. Parents of all kinds, you are required to love your children, to pray for your children, to seek your child's well-being, to instruct, advise, and warn your children. You're called to wield the sword or gun, the rod or the pink slip, the admonition or excommunication, as the case may be, to encourage and reward the righteous and discourage and punish the wicked. You're to protect your children and provide for their necessities, and you're to keep yourselves in godly behavior so you bring glory to God and honor to yourselves and preserve your authority. Failure at any of these points is sin. Self-seeking in the exercise of authority over others is sin. Giving commands which are contrary to Scripture or outside your proper area of authority or beyond your child's ability to obey, giving such commands is sin. Encouraging evil, discouraging good, undue correction, provoking children to wrath and ungodly, unseemly behavior are all sins which parents and others in authority can and do commit, sometimes with good intentions. But children, your parents sinning doesn't remove them from their position of authority, nor allow you as children to ignore them in all that they command. That would be sin on your part, failing to honor your parents whom only God can remove from authority. Some of you have heard me talk about Valentine, the German shepherd that my family once owned. I was Valentine's master, his authority. My job was to see to it that he was fed, walked, and so on. His job description was a little vague, but he was supposed to obey and stay within the boundaries set for him. Valentine owned me as his master. When he came to me where I was sitting and put his paw on my leg and laid his head on my hand or arm, he disowned me as his master when someone in the family was taking him outside and Valentine took off after a rabbit, ripping the leash out of their hand. I was Valentine's master in any case. But when did he enjoy my being his master? When he obeyed. You are all to consider each other's honor in placing others before yourselves, because Jesus considered himself nothing for your sakes. So because he was obedient, he received the promise of this verse. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Heaven and earth are given to him as his land, and he rules over them from the right hand of his Father, and it goes well with him. He is risen victoriously from battle with sin and death. And if you obey him and honor those whom he has appointed as authorities over you, you will enjoy the promise too. Indeed, you begin to enjoy it now. He honors you with his presence. Those who've been born into the family of God, who belong to Jesus, have long life, eternal life. And the land you will receive is the earth made new. And it will go well with you in the land, being made perfect, suffering no more, all your labor bearing good fruit. That's the promise. But it's attached to the commandment. The way of faith is the way of obedience. You trust and obey. If you break the command, you break the covenant. And the promise is a covenant promise. If you despise the command, you don't know the Lord, who is himself the blessing that makes the land good. The problem, of course, as we keep seeing again and again, is that you don't trust and obey. You break the command. You despise the Lord. You sin against those in authority over you and against those over whom you exercise authority. And you sin against God, just as Valentine chased rabbits. What can you do? Trust and obey, which means repent. Turn from your sin. Confess it to the one against whom you've sinned and seek their forgiveness. Valentine heard my rebuke when he went after the rabbit every time. He returned with his tail between his legs and his head low. He returned and put his head from nose to ears in my hand the hand that held the leash, repenting and seeking our forgiveness. When he did so, he owned us. He honored us. Whom do you need to honor in repentance? To whom do you need to go confessing sin and seeking forgiveness? Against whom have you sinned, ignoring the authority God has given to them or to you? Remember, Jesus has the authority to forgive sins. So, children, honor your father and mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he has appointed fathers and mothers and others to exercise authority in the church, in government, at home, in every aspect of our lives. We thank you that he has the authority to forgive sins. Enable us to trust you, to obey you, to repent when we fail to honor you in all that we think, say, and do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.